Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports, brought to you by Reliable Banner, Here Clear, and the Late Model Truck Series. Filling in for Mike, and we miss you, Mike. It's Wonder Woman. And tonight, it's my pleasure to have Chuck D with us, and we're also going to pick on our host, Gary Wyatt, who is a famous race car driver, and no one even knows it because all he does is sit there. So welcome, guys. Thanks for coming. I'm going to start with Gary. Gary, how many championships do you have now?
None.
That's not true.
Six.
Yeah, how many fingers? You got need your fingers and your toes to count all those, huh?
Yeah,
When did you start racing?
In 01.
No, you didn't.
2001, I started racing. Yes, I did.
I moved here in 2000 and you were racing.
No, I was helping Lance Megan at that time.
Well, tell everybody, who's Lance Megan? Tell everybody about Lance Megan.
A guy that we used to help.
Lance Megan used to race super late models with
yes.
me, and he had hand controls.
Paraplegic.
Because he was racing motorcycles?
Yes.
Did you know him before?
No.
You only met him after?
I actually started working for him or with him in 99.
How did he rope your talent into that?
I don't have none. So, no, I actually helped Lance from 99 to part of 2001. And then I started demolition derbying. And then I built a bomber car and started demolition derbying.
Wait, what's
there.
The difference? Yeah.
Back then.
And then Lance, he's racing the super late model, but then he went off-road racing. Did you help him with that?
No. He went off-road racing after I had
But I thought you liked off-road
him.
Racing.
I did, but at the time I didn't know he was going off-road racing. He actually still was racing his super late model, and I believe Ron Barker was helping him at the time.
That's right. And so I actually met Ron Barker, and he's like, you should come over and help us, because he had a super and an off-road truck. So I was like, where else in the world would I rather be? Nowhere. So I would go hang out over there. But, you know, honestly, I didn't do much help on the car or the truck because Kaylee was there. She was like 8.
Well, Ron was...
Me and Bug did a play.
Ron was coming to Lance Megan's house when I was helping Lance. And Kaylee was like 0. She wasn't...
Yeah. And her nickname was Bug because she'd always bug them. So I was in charge of unbugging the bug.
Uh-huh.
Is that where she got the name? Bug?
Yeah.
Seriously? Because she was bugging people?
No, her dad.
Bugging her dad.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because he's trying to work on cars and he'd bring her.
I've never asked her. Where did you come up with Bug?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So
good.
Cute.
I learned something new today.
Yeah, see what you can learn from this radio show?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm in on that.
I like to think I played a small role in encouraging her to be whatever she wants to be regardless of her gender. Because she did grow up to be a famous race car driver herself.
There's a gender difference in race car drivers?
There's not. Oh. They don't know the difference. You put on a helmet, the car does not know the difference.
Car that's in front of me, I'm out to kick its ass.
Exactly.
I don't care who's on racetrack. I want to go beat it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So back to Gary. So then you quit and you were just doing your own demolition derby thing? When did you start Bomber Nation?
I think that came along... 2003 or 2004.
And how did that happen? I know Lugnut was involved.
No, we just made this website. That's all. We just came up with a website.
You, Mike, Lugnut.
Nope, me and JJ.
That's Lugnut.
Yeah.
I only know
JJ.
Him as Lugnut.
Nope, JJ.
JJ.
Yes, we came up with it, and it still runs. It's kind of slow because of Facebook, but hey, it still goes today.
That's cool. And then you and JJ raced against each other?
Yes. for many years. He was on one team and I had my own team.
Did you like each other then?
Depends on what day of the week it was. If it was Saturday night, no.
Were you friends before or
yes.
you met at the racetrack? Oh, you were?
No. We met at the racetrack,
okay.
Racing each other, and we would talk.
And you're both knuckleheads, and we're like, I like you, knucklehead. Be my knucklehead friend.
Yes.
You know, Cindy, I got to tell you something. Myself and Kevin Terrell were going to do exactly what you're doing right now, and that was to interview him.
Yeah. No
we
one
were,
does, right?
We were going to.
Mike
Kevin
never
was
does.
Sit right
but,
where you are. We were going to kick
but
Mike
you
out
guys,
and
yeah.
him over
but
here.
You guys forget.
We're tag teaming you tonight, Gary.
You forget.
Gary's been here for 6 years?
8 years?
8 years.
Yeah. 8 years.
Eight plus years. You don't think they've heard everything about me?
No.
Yes, they have.
No, we haven't.
I didn't know you won six championships.
Yeah, see?
And
five,
I've been around here 21 years.
Five in the dirt and one in the pavement.
Didn't
one on the
that.
Pavement.
On which racetrack?
The Bullring.
Yeah.
Have
and
you not been in the house?
Bombers.
Oh, in Bombers. So it's always been Bombers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I don't know how to drive nothing else. Just
old,
a Bomber.
I'll attest to that. No, I'm just kidding. No, yeah. Have you seen him in the late model?
No.
Gary's living room, like, sparkles. When
yeah, it has
out.
So many trophies. For sure.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
No, so you did LVMS, and then how did you get to Prump? Did you Prump and the Bullring at the same time?
Yes, for like 6 and 7 and 8.
Did
we
you
were
use
doing
the same
both.
Car?
Yes.
Wow. Did you change yes. setup at all?
Nope.
Or
tire pressure.
Slick?
It's a bomber
tire
car.
Pressure. Yeah. Tire pressure.
For a big
everybody thought you had to do this or do that. We only changed tire pressures. That was it.
Wow, that's cool. And how many bombers would show up in Pahrump?
Well, 8, 10 different, you know.
Depends
of course,
on the weekend.
Yeah, a lot of the guys here at the Bullring didn't want to get their car dirty. And I'll tell you the truth. We went to Havasu Racing, and one of the guys that did run the bomber division in Vegas was in Havasu. And he came over and he said, you just raced this car last week in Pahrump? I said, yep. He said, it sure is clean for being Pahrump. Well, a garden hose and some soap and water and it comes clean again.
Soap and
yeah.
water, that's a novel
That's
idea.
What I do with my dirt car
yeah.
at Ascot.
Yeah.
I ran my dirt car at Ascot and then went to Orange Show and ran figure eight at Orange Show, then went back to the Ascot
yeah.
Park.
What's the same car? Did you change the setup at all?
No. Just change tire and stagger
okay.
because I went from figure eight racing, you know, on pavement to figure eight racing on the oval.
What about oil
on
pan?
Dirt.
You didn't have like a circle track oil pan or anything?
Yeah, we had a circle track. We had a oil pan that had a pickup that moved left and right
so
on.
So were you worried in the figure
that,
eight?
I still have the pump and pickup. Did I do what?
What about in the figure eight though when you're going the other way?
Well, it didn't matter. You know, I mean, you just in the pavement stuff, you just did a different setup in the pavement mm-hmm. stuff.
No, the oil,
dirt.
Though.
Oh, the oil
going,
was the same way. It didn't matter because the oil pump pickup was actually rope pivots left to right. So depending
really?
On which way you're going, your gates were still in there the same
oh.
Because you ran an oil pan that had...
I can't hear you very good.
Your oil pan had dual gates, and the gates would shut, but the pump, the pickup was on a swivel, so it would swivel left and swivel right depending on which way you were going.
That's pretty fancy.
Yeah, no.
So every
fancy.
Time you heard
not
a click,
budget.
Every time you heard a click, it was the oil pump hitting the, or the pickup hitting the side of the
engine. You better not hear a click. If you did, it was moving too fast and too loud. So, no.
Oh,
no, we did that with our dirt car. I got pictures. The car went from one race one day, Saturday night, to Orange Show. And went,
what years was that?
Oh, so now you're going to go, well, that would be like the 90s.
Yeah.
Is that pre-Joe?
Oh, yeah,
baby
yeah,
Joe.
Yeah. Well, Joe was alive, but...
Babe Joe.
But, you know, I started racing in 74. So
pre-Joe.
Yeah, that was way pre-Joe. And then, well, Joseph wasn't born... Well, Joseph just had a birthday, on the 16th of this month. But he
happy
just,
birthday, Joe D!
Yeah, so he just got a little bit older. But Joseph was born in 81.
Really?
Yeah.
So old.
Speaking of birthdays, let's say happy birthday to Doug Hamm.
That's right. Today is
Doug
Hamm's
birthday.
Doug Hamm's birthday. Shout
oh,
out.
Good.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to another person that's born in this month.
Yeah, mm-hmm. What are you guys doing 9 months ago?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, knocking around.
So were you married, start racing?
Let me think about that for a minute.
I hope
no,
she ain't listening.
No, I was only 15 when I started racing. And I'm 64 now, or 63 and a half now.
You
so,
are not.
Yes,
I'm
I am.
Security. Lime,
my
garage.
Out of my truck. I'm telling you right now, I'm 63 and a half
really?
Years old.
What's
yes,
your
I
secret?
Racing.
Doesn't that
see?
Age
everybody
you though?
Says the same thing. Racing.
Pulling your hair out.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's only on Saturday
night.
That's only on.
Yeah,
like,
that's why the front only the front corners are wore down.
I have
scratching my head going, what the hell's wrong with my car?
Oh, that. I put my race car pictures in my office. Those talking point for patients sometimes, and they're like, oh, how much does it cost to race? And I'm like, how much do you have?
How much you got? Yeah. And that ain't,
and
that won't be enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
That won't be enough.
It don't matter how much you got. Go get more.
Yeah,
you're gonna need it.
Yeah, you go racing, become a millionaire. Start with two.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I get it. It's just the way it is. It's racing is just a lot. I mean, the modified we bought from Kevin.
Uh-huh.
You know about that, right? But that car is still not done yet. That's how precisely and being well built that my son is doing.
I
that
think that's
car.
A Kevin curse.
No, it's not a curse. Joseph took the car down to just the bare frame and the rear end housing, and started completely over with that car from scratch. You honest to God, Kevin won't even recognize his own car when it's done. I mean, there's not one single nut or bolt or screw on that thing that's used except the rear end housing itself.
That's to get rid of the Kevin curse.
Yeah,
he's got a late model now. Maybe you want to have that sit around
him.
Too.
Yeah, we've talked about that. Kevin and I have talked about that a few times. But yeah, he's that car. Joseph's building that car. I bought Ethan his new modified. I mean, so we've been running out of Tucson the last couple of times. So
oh, really?
We had to go out there. Where else are we going to race?
How's Tucson?
Tucson is fabulous. Have you never been to Tucson?
Yeah, once for a West race.
Oh, man, I love that racetrack. That thing was so fast. I mean, it's
like a bull, isn't it?
Yeah, and it was so fast. Ethan loved it, but the problem, you know, we couldn't steer the car. We couldn't figure that problem out.
Isn't it more flat, though? Because like an apartment.
Oh, no, it's way banked.
It's
way up there. I mean, it's really, you'll barely whisper the engine on that, what they consider a
Is it a 3/8 also?
That's what they consider it, but it drives like a half mile because you get off the throttle just for a I mean, you really don't even get all the way out of the throttle there, and you're back in the throttle wide open and all the way down the straightaway and into the next corner. So it drives like a half mile, but they claim it to be a 3/8 mile.
That would be fun.
Actually, we're running the same gear ratio in the mod that we would run here. So it acts like it, but it's not really actually. It's a fast racetrack. It's bad fast.
Last time I was there, Herschel McGriff was racing, and I heard he was just racing like 2 years ago.
Herschel McGriff's even still alive?
He is, and he's still racing. And his last race was at Tucson, 100-lapper.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even know Herschel was still even around.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Racing. He has some kind of magic elixir. Yeah. Must be racing. Okay.
Gotta be racing.
But what's Gary's excuse?
Gary didn't have an excuse. He don't look that old.
It's too hot.
Maybe you just need another championship, Gary.
No,
when was your last championship? What year?
18.
18?
18.
And then did you race in 19?
Yes. So, the trucks.
That's right. You raced the trucks in the late model truck series.
Yep.
How do you like the trucks over the bomber? Was that a significant change for you?
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Big. I like the trucks.
Yeah.
When I build me a
not
Ford.
So big, it's not so heavy, and it doesn't take so long to come up to speed, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I build a Ford.
Oh.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah, I got the look. Look where she just did. Look what she just did. She just got a frown.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah, that's why he didn't win. Because it's not a Ford, but it's a spec. Do you even have a Ford spec motor for that?
We're working on a program.
Okay,
yes.
Because the Gary Ford spec program.
No.
Gary, well, Griffith just said there's a bad. Echo.
Yeah.
Matt's working on it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Matt's playing with
it. Maybe it's my loud voice, my loud mouth.
Do you know which one of us is making the echo there, Justin? Maybe he'll tell me. We'll find out from Justin Griffin.
Somebody
who's
just said here,
who's got the echo.
Sounds good now.
Okay.
Oh, well, then there you go. So they must have jumped off of there
Dave,
and on you.
Yeah, Dave said sounds good now.
There you go.
Well, I don't Matt working on it over there. Good
it was a, it was a setting from last week that I didn't undo.
Oh.
No.
Oh, well, apparently it's cured.
Yes.
So, Gary,
it's fixed.
I saw you race the Pahrump Harvest Classic where you won, and then you gave out toy cars to kids. What
yes.
is that all about?
We get toy wooden cars given to our, I'm sorry, donated to us. And if me or one of my teammates win, we give out 20 cars each time one of us win.
Is it random? They just got to be first in line, first down there?
Yes, yes.
That's kind of cool.
And usually there was more than 20 kids. That's why we were giving away, you know, 8, 10. And then there were kids walking up the stairs with their
crying.
Head. Yes, with their head hanging low. So we bumped it to 20. And we still didn't have enough, but we stayed at 20. And then for 2018, every race out there, we put a date on the car, which was the date of the race. And if they showed that car, whatever kid got it and showed it to the announcer, we gave them $10.
That's pretty cool.
For each kid. And that car would get buried in the pile, so we wouldn't know, you know, I'd just stick my hand in and give the car away to the kids.
That's pretty cool. Is that how you buy fans, or was it
yes.
for an actual?
You gotta buy fans.
You gotta buy them fans.
Well, I know. I put a cape on for the exact same reason.
No, it was just something I started doing.
Because you like kids?
No. I like to see them smile after I win.
Well, I have to say, like, they said there was like an age limit, and I was depressed because I didn't get an autographed card.
You wasn't 10 or
nope.
below.
Or below.
That's right.
I was just barely over it.
Uh-huh.
Barely over
it. You were 10 and a half.
For the last
you
35 years.
But, I mean, that's great because the kids 40. Can drag their, you know, parents and grandparents to the races.
And that was the idea behind it was, you know, you can bring your kids, and hopefully your kids will bring the neighbor's kids. And, you know.
We did that at Irwindale.
More interested.
Yeah, Irwindale had a great program. They would shoot T-shirts in the stands and have giveaways. And
when they did the autograph session, we used to bring out boxes of Hot Wheels.
Yeah.
And the kids would go through. And lucky, if you were lucky with one of them, you know, special Hot Wheel cars, they were in there.
Yeah.
If you were the lucky kid to get one, you knew what you were getting one of them special Hot Wheels. Mm-hmm. We'd bring out boxes of those things.
So with Irwindale, was that you driving or Joe D?
Oh, no, Joe. No.
You know, Cindy, since you bring that up, one time JJ and I went to all the 99-cent stores around us and bought all their little balls. And I think it was 43 balls we ended up throwing in the stands after. I don't remember if JJ won or I won. I don't remember. But they were all in the trunk of our car. And then we backed up. And started throwing balls over the.
Well, you're lucky.
You
guys,
the race car?
Uh-huh.
You're lucky you didn't get smashed in the rear end. The whole track has been.
That's the chances you got to take. And we used to put the wooden cars in a plastic bag and put them in the trunk of the car, and we would.
I think
put
you
them,
did that.
Yeah, we would put them by the quarter panel.
On the rear hood.
Well,
lay there.
Yeah, and actually somebody hit. The quarter panel and the cars got stuck down in there. So I could only give one bag of the cars away.
Oh, dude.
They were stuck down
they
there.
They were broken all up?
Oh, no. They
I'd have
just...
got a sawzall out for that. Cars.
Somebody's in the trunk kicking the quarter out.
Yeah, I'm telling it. So
yeah,
the first time I went to Pahrump, they used to let the kids ride on top of the cars in the intermissions.
Yes. And they stopped that due to insurance.
Oh.
But that used to be something that they would do during
intermission.
Did
you do that? Was that in your
no,
era?
No.
It was in mine.
It was in yours?
Yeah, the kids used to come out of the grandstands at back at Ascot Park, mm-hmm. and they'd come out, and before the races, they would let the kids go around with us while we were wheel packing.
That's cool.
And we were allowed to have two kids, one in the front seat, and one sitting actually up in the back window.
Oh, wow.
But it had to be a bigger kid, you know, but you were allowed to have like a teenager up in the back window, And you're going around wheel packing in the, you know, and
yeah.
you're only idling anyway.
Right.
But so, they had to eventually cut that out.
Yeah, some of them guys there, man, they
that
would have
70s.
They would have 8 or 10 people hanging out their cars, you know, going around.
Look at one of those clown cars. How
yeah.
many can you stuff in
uh-huh.
there? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, they used to only allow us to have 2 of those. But I mean, look at the cup cars used to do that. Every crew member used to jump on the cup cars and ride the car to Victory Lane.
Yeah.
Remember,
true.
They don't do that no more either.
But, you know, that's a huge thing for the fans because I remember when I first started racing, the thrill of my life was to mud pack a late model.
Yeah.
You know, I got to drive, though. But, I mean, I'll
yeah.
never forget that. So those kids, they're probably race fans to this day
yeah.
because
yeah.
of that.
Yeah, they probably are. I mean, it's I'm sure that some of them were family members, like my children, you know, my oldest son, Joe's brother, he would, you know, he'd go out there and hop in anybody's car because you have to line up at the gate. You had to actually line up there. And then the car would come up and then 2 kids would jump in and the next car would roll off and then 2 kids would jump in. So you never actually knew whose car you were getting into. You did just because there was my son at the time. He didn't get to get in my car.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I got him maybe, but, you know, it was strictly by chance. And the kids used to show up early just for wheel packing, you know, and the
yeah.
parents were there and they were selling hot dogs and hamburgers
and
Coke and beer.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
So it was a promotional thing because people wanted to be there early for that. That was exciting for the kids to get out in there, you know, and the smaller kids got to ride. And some of them would only ride around 1 or 2 laps because the cars were loud. We didn't even
yeah.
have to worry about exhaust.
Oh, yeah.
So the kids were sitting in the car holding their ears
yeah.
and then they wanted
crying.
To get out. Well, they weren't crying, but they wanted to get out. So then
yeah.
you pull up to the thing and you get out and you get another kid in.
Oh, okay.
You know, so but if there wasn't enough cars because the late models couldn't put kids in cars.
Mm.
So what they called, which is our street stocks, which are Camaros and our Chevelles and stuff, those were the cars that they were actually letting the kids ride in because we had so much room in there. The late models all were enclosed in the compartment anyway. So, but you could pull up there and you could pull up there to the gate and have a kid go in and ride for 2 laps and get out. You know, some kids weren't they weren't getting out for nothing.
Yeah,
yeah, that would be me probably.
You would
again.
Red flag the thing, just red flag wheel packing just to get a kid out. You know?
What about at the Bullring? Didn't they used to do tricycle races?
They did. They did bicycle and tricycle. They'd go from
and grocery cart racing.
I don't know about the grocery one before my time, but I know they did the tricycle and they did the bicycle ones. They come off of turn 4 and go to the start finish line. You know, and they had a little trophy for everybody,
yeah.
and a little bitty trophy, but yo big. But it was promotional. The kids were bringing their parents for bringing them so they could ride their bikes and ride their big wheels. And they had a big wheel race separate from the bike, and they were doing the same thing. Now you're selling hot dogs and hamburgers and sodas and beer and wine and whatever, you know, whatever else is going on there, you know. So the racetracks, Vegas doesn't do much for the people. You know, they let them sit there and watch, but they don't do a whole lot of promotional stuff anymore. They don't throw t-shirts.
Well, since Hannah left.
Well,
Hannah got taken by NHRA.
There's 2 or 3 t-shirts that might go out or a couple of passes or something like that.
That's what we've been talking to George about, is trying to bring some more fan experience before and during the race.
Yeah, I talked to George the first weekend he was up there in the tower, and he came down and talked to me after the races was over. And George, you know, he's seems like he's got a pretty open mind about what he wants to, you know. He's, you know, let me see if that'll work. You know, if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. But, you know, I talked to him about trying to get a representative. We need a representative for these couple of divisions, and everybody needs a rep. And I think he talked about that last week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talked to him, you need to have somebody that, if you guys are all pissed about something, then come to somebody and talk to them. Don't go running to the track director. Come to there. Let's see if we can get it all worked out.
Yeah.
If we can't get it worked out, then whoever's in charge of a division will go over there and talk to Ant Hill and explain the situation, and then we'll come up with whatever division it is, will come up with a solution or not.
Yeah.
You know,
we did the exact same thing a few years ago in Perot. For 3 or 4 years I was out there, we did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
One guy was for each division,
mm-hmm.
you know, and even though a lot of the drivers didn't like that one guy or had a problem with that one guy in the past or whatever,
mm-hmm.
he still had to go to that one guy and
say,
hey, look, A, B, and C.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, we did the same thing with Nat. Back when I figure-rated at Ascot Park and Orange Show, we were part of NASCAR then. So all the oval cars ran NASCAR. Figure eight cars ran NASCAR. Well, the figure eight people all got together and said, screw this. We're not doing this anymore. So we we actually became our own organization, which was FEAR, F-E-A-R,
wow.
Figure Eight Auto Racing Association, or Figure Eight Auto Racing. And we actually did the, we actually had our own organization, and they did just that. There was the novice figure eight division and the expert figure eight division on dirt.
Wow.
And each one of those two divisions had their own. Well, then the guys that were running the late model division decided they wanted to have a representative of their own. So they did their own thing. So it kind of worked out good. And that was way back in the 70s, you know? So it was a, something that if I was pissed because I'm getting tired of getting ran over by Gary, I'm getting sick and tired of him, I'm going to kick his ass or I'm going to dump him in the intersection, then I'd go bitch to you and you go tell Gary he could need to get off and dig a bear's ass,
yeah.
You know? So if not, he's going to dump you in the intersection, you know? And he, if you taco Gary's car, Gary's going to be done, but you had to do something about something. And so that's the way it went rather than running up to the officials and all the time, the officials are going to go, yeah, whatever, because they didn't care. But when you have a representative who's a driver, it's got to be in the class.
Yeah.
They got to be a driver in the class. This can't be somebody's random parent, you know? It just can't be that.
Well, and also, sometimes they'll go running to the chief steward or whatever, and then people are saying, oh, he's playing favorite.
Yeah.
So that eliminates all that, too.
Right. That's why I said it has to be a driver in the division that they're going to be representing, because
not
that driver
the crew guy,
is part
not,
of what's going on there. Right. And that individual has – it can't be the crew guy. It can't be somebody's mommy and daddy or a standalone individual. It's got to be somebody who's currently racing in that division. I couldn't do it because I'm not racing mods. People who are racing mods are different. Chris Bray, Antil's talking about Chris Bray potentially being in charge of the mods. Now, Chris Bray's not running the mods, but it's his entire organization for the most part. He's got the most cars, the most people, the most backing, the most people are surrounded by. That may be an exception, but you can't take Kaylee Barker's dad and say, okay, you're the representative for all these classes because he's not part of the whole process. I'm just picking him up because he's the person we were just talking about. It was on my mind. But you have to be able to have a representative that races the cars week in and week out that's going to absolutely be a neutral individual who's going to be able to say, not say, don't come in my pit. I ain't got time for you right now.
Nope.
I get it. He's racing cars. At the same time, he's got to be able to say, I want to hear your problems. I want to see what's going on. Everybody wants to make a change. If everybody wants to make a change, they've got to have to go through that representative. They're going to be able to vote on it, decide what it's going to be. He's going to have to take that individual is going to have to take that up to the anthill and say, this is what all the drivers want. And if everybody favors that, then that's what you're going to get, because whether it costs you more money or less money.
Yeah. Like
everybody's
in the middle of a season? Change rules or?
What difference is it going to make?
Nothing.
If everybody want, if all the drivers in the super late division decide that they want to put a weight limit on somebody who's absolutely outrunning everybody else and everybody agrees to it, then that guy's going to get a weight penalty. Or if they want to do something different, you know, to not be able to make the show a stinker, they want to put more weight on all the cars. They want to take weight off the cars. They want to give more left side. But if everybody agrees to it, then
everybody's the same color. And that's so 65 people ain't going up to George Ant Hill because we're using George Ant Hill. But so 65 different people is not going up to George
Ant Hill. Plus any director, just like any parent, any teacher, at a certain point, it's going to be a blanket decision that may impede or, you know,
well, it is, and it's not going to be one person making the decision who's going to be a rep for that person. It's going to be that rep wants to do something. He's got to go to all them drivers and find out if everybody's game for that.
Especially, and then if they can vote, or at least come up with a decision or options to go to the director with.
Somewhere in the middle or something like that. There's got to be something out there.
We like this idea. We don't like this. Yeah.
You've got too many super late sitting around not doing anything. There's no doubt about it. I mean, there's too many super late model cars. When you're only showing up with 8 or 10 cars and there's 15 more sitting in town, why are they sitting there? Why? Because everybody priced them out of engines? Because somebody's got to have a $150,000, $180,000 super late model car? Okay, so how do you get those guys in? Where are they coming from? We were supposed to, many, many years in a row, under the last two directors, we were supposed to have a meeting in the racetrack, in the infield of the Super Speedway. And those only happened once. The whole time that I've been racing here, one time did we have a sit down and say, we want to know what you guys want. And the one time that we did have it, there was only like 35 guys showed up. Well, then you're all going to be bitching because the 35 guys
right.
that are there are going to make
they're
going to make the decisions for what the rules are going to be mm-hmm. for that particular division. You know, so that's when we went to headers in the super stock class instead of the cast iron exhaust. That was a big deal because the cast iron exhausts were just getting to be too hard to locate.
Yeah.
And some people were able to run the center dumps and some they're almost like the headers on the Corvettes. So that, well, it became a problem when you couldn't find them, everybody else could.
Right.
So, that's when we went to the headers, but that was the only real change we had way back then. You know, we actually got to get a set of headers for the super stock. Then we got aluminum manifolds and blah, and then the external shocks, and it went on and on from there. And now now those cars are just limited late models. But look at the super stock class. Super stock class has got 6, 7, 8 cars, maybe. There's more super stock cars out there.
A lot more.
But what was the problem? I know what the problem was. Myself, the 21 car. And the 29 car, we would just kick their ass in the show. There was nobody left except for our three cars running away with the show. Then finally, one of the cars the guy just recently passed away that drove a car.
I know who you're talking about. I'll think of his name.
Yeah,
if
you think of it. Anyway, he ended up starting to run with us up front. He couldn't quite stay. He was always about a half a tenth off or 2/10 off, but he was starting to catch up. He was starting to get there. We started just run away. So what happened was we started stinking up the show. Well, my car's gone, so I don't care anymore. But there's super stock cars sitting around. So what do? You slow us down? Okay, slow us down. But if it's going to bring more cars, it's going to bring more cars. But we got to do something.
Jim Marlino.
Marlino. Yeah, Marlino. Yeah. He started catching up with you.
Finally, Kevin come up with something smart. He said Jim Marlino.
Thank you, Kevin Terrell.
That's right. And then Wayne Moore said the 13 car. So
the 13 car started showing up. Yeah,
That was Jim Marlino.
The 13.
Which is
Marlino.
For sale,
yeah.
By the way, yes. For $9,500.
Yeah, it's still for sale. Yeah, there was one other car. The guy came out of California, out of Orange Show. He came up for a while and started doing pretty good. But for the most part, we just kept running away from everybody in the field. There was the three of us. It was just the way it was. So if it comes down to everybody going in a group and say, we need to slow those three cars down, the Jack's car, my car, the 21 car, if we had to slow us down in order to make more guys come out with their car to be more competitive, I want to race somebody. I don't want to just race the same two cars every week.
So when I started racing street stock, we had like 60 cars. We had B and C mains. And the guys in the A main, you know, were – way faster than when I first started in the C-Main.
Mm-hmm.
But that just pushed me, though, because that made me figure it out. I don't want someone to
hand
it to
me. Money.
I don't know. That just made me figure out how to take weight off the car. And
it still made you spend more money. Look at Phil Goodwin. Look what he did out there. Phil Goodwin smoked everybody week in and week out. Yeah, he may have over-prepped his car. Maybe he did all the prep work and got everything right. But he was just stinking up the show.
So what were the rules between tracks back then? Was it lax where you can take your car and you can go hit 5 tracks?
Yeah,
because that's
that.
The problem we're having now is
the rules are all different.
The rules are all different at every track, and we can't get the cars to travel back and forth.
Well, Roshan, I think Bill's willing to work and probably will work with Ant Hill since they are good friends or have been
uh-huh.
good friends in the past, and they may be able to do something about that. But when I take my super stock car down to – or when I was taking it when I had my car, I take it down to Orange Show – I mean to Havasu. Those guys were still faster than me because they had that old hillbilly setup in their cars, you know, and I didn't. I had this conventional Spank setting, and they had this off-camber hillbilly.
But isn't that the great part about racing and innovation? And how do you set your car up to beat that guy?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily have to be money. A lot of it's set up.
It doesn't have to be. No, you're right. I mean, but you got to spend money to be able to go as fast as somebody else is going.
Well, racing costs money.
Well, yeah. I mean, hell, I was, you know, I could tell you now that
unless
my super stock cars, I was $10,000 into those motors. So, I mean, you know, Howard of Vegas machine make a pretty good motor, you know. So, and I had two of them.
Yeah,
you
those
know,
kids
so,
have good college educations,
yeah.
don't they?
But you know, it's just it comes down to mostly financing. You know, how much money can you spend on your car, and how well do you want your shocks to be, and what your spring package are, and how do you stretch?
I think there's
and,
some of that, but I still think there's some about innovation, like the street stock class, or the bomber class, or the super stock class. All
well,
those
plus talents
you
and,
do
and
need,
experience.
Yeah,
you
there's no substitute.
You can have
for
all the money in the world
time.
And build an excellent car, but if you don't have the driver to drive the car, it's not going to matter.
Even Paul Menards won a race, though.
You
anyway.
Got the same problem in bomber. So you've got three or four or five cars that are really fast, and the other ones are not. So,
yeah,
what,
but aren't
so how do you slow
drivers?
That down? I'm gonna,
no, that's
I'm gonna,
good money.
I'm going to say.
I'll say it. It's good
I,
money.
I'm going to say I don't know.
It's
okay?
good money.
I know what I did when I had Timmy Masterang's bomber car.
Yeah.
And I know what I did to that car, and I know what I needed to do to that car when
what'd
it was
you
alive.
Do?
I
what'd
can't
you do
tell
to
you what I did. I can tell you what I did. I could. I would like to be able to tell you what I did, but I won't. But I mean that car.
But see,
other,
that's the whole point of having a rule book, though. So you have a rule book, and then you need someone to enforce the rule book.
Well, that is a problem.
That's
a problem when you're when right. your friends are they in charge of tech.
Yeah.
That's the
problem.
Number one problem right there.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a friend that's in charge of tech,
mm-hmm.
your friend turns the cheek because he wants to go have a beer with you afterwards.
Well,
it's my opinion.
I mean, I was friendly to everybody in tech only because that's their job, and I was always friendly to them. But I never once since I've been in this town for 21 years, been racing out here for 19 of those 21 years, have I ever gone out with anybody at the racetrack like a race official.
Okay, but then again, rolling back 5 minutes, the person that is your representative of your class, couldn't that person be standing at tech and overseeing all the cars?
Why not?
Yeah. Yeah, he could.
Why
that is
he?
Something
and
he
then,
made.
We all can.
And then when their car gets teched, they bring somebody else in the class that's going to supervise my tech.
Right. The part that pisses me off about the whole tech thing is only two people allowed in the tech area. Uh-uh. It's an open tech.
Yeah.
It's open. I don't give a goddamn if there's 35 people standing there. They don't have to be in my way. They don't have to be standing by my car because you want to see – you tell me what you want to see, and I'll make sure no one's standing in that spot. You want to see if the brakes are working on the front of my car correctly? Make sure everybody stays, you know, you're step to the
that
back of my car.
LMS is the only track I know of that doesn't have open tech.
It's not an open tech here, and the tech needs to be open to anybody to walk up and look right down in my motor and see.
Well,
I've walked over the 21 car and walked right over to them, looked right down, dead, smack down, dead in their motor.
Aren't they afraid that if you have four guys that before they get to your car to tech, they might do something to your car? I mean, I'm just using it for an example.
No, you have an area, but there should be like a spectator area. So we used to pull into tech and just the officials looking, you know, only the official can be next to the car and you and one crew guy. But right next to it is everybody else seeing if you pass tech or not.
Well, that's a simple fix. And there's a very simple fix for this. Nobody goes to near any car. Now, if everybody's going to get the intake manifold pulled off of their car, you pull your intake manifold, you pull your intake manifold, you pull your intake manifold, you pull your intake manifold. Once your tech official has looked in there, everybody else gets to look too. You can't put your car back together until everybody's satisfied. There's a simple fix to the problem, and it's not that difficult. Because if you want to verify that I looked at your car and all your lifters and push rods were legal, and I'm going to look at her car and see all the push rods and intake manifold and everything in there and all the keepers are in the lifters, then I'm going to get to look too. And once everybody's gotten their opportunity to look down in that motor, okay.
Yeah,
well,
see,
it's like
a
parade. They can parade by.
Yeah.
I mean, you just can't close the hood up just because somebody's done it. I mean, if you're going to make an open tech out of it, let's make an open tech out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think. That'll take care of some of the problem because you don't have a tech official going, if it's not legal, let's find out what's going on. Why does he have solid lifters and I've got flat tappet? You know, why is that?
Yeah.
Because you can look in there and see.
Right.
You can see that your guy's running a 7/16, you know, push rod and other guy's not.
That would solve the spending too much money cheating problem. You know,
it would.
And then it's more down to skill. But I would rather have, I would rather not penalize the fast guys because I would rather want me to just get better. Just like I was so, when I started skid plate racing even, I was so unhappy if I didn't win. Like, I gotta go faster. I gotta go faster. So that pushed me is like, I gotta do something different. We gotta figure this out. What's wrong with my car? Mm-hmm. How come that car does this and mine doesn't? So that's racing to me.
Yeah.
Is so maybe not penalize the fast guys, but enforce the rules.
Well, I don't mean penalize. I mean, maybe you're getting me a little bit wrong here, but you got to figure out why it is that they are going that much faster. I mean, why are you running?
Well, it sounds
why
like
are you running two
cheating.
Different lower control arms on your bomber car? I guess.
But it
okay.
Does it say
why
in the rules that you can't?
If it doesn't come with two different lower control arm lengths, yes.
Well, then that's cheating.
Well. That's my point.
I'm glad you're making my point here.
If you're gonna put an 8-inch on one side and a 10-inch on the other side, that doesn't come that way from the factory.
But,
so no, you're not gonna.
But the history
of
racing is always pushing the rules. Like when
there's no pushing there. If your bomber car is supposed to be the same as it is,
right.
As it was manufactured, it didn't come with two different control arms. It doesn't come with a raised ball joint on one
Richard
side and not
Petty's
the other.
But if the rule says you have to run a GM ball joint.
Yeah, but it didn't come with
Apollo one.
It didn't come with a 6-inch tall. I mean, a plus one ball joint.
That's been the progression of NASCAR, though. That's been the whole thing with NASCAR. Is they're like, yeah, well, you didn't say I could run an Apollo one and a Camaro one.
But the rule has to say you're allowed a plus one. You know, ball joint.
Right.
Okay. And that way everybody can have a plus one ball joint, you know, and that's what the rule
says.
And
then
if you choose not to have one, you prefer to have a standard, that's your business. That's why you're going to be behind.
But I like that hunt. I mean, I'm a racer. So that pushes me. It's like, well, what is he doing that maybe I could do?
You can't see if there's no open tech for you to look at. So you're not going to get to see what he's doing, are you?
Right.
You have to guess.
Well, I used to bring donuts.
So I would bribe them.
but that's what I'm saying. There has to be some consistency in the rule package.
But the beauty of NASCAR, though, is the innovation.
Oh,
maybe you come
I'm
up
not,
with something wait, on
not,
your
not,
own.
Wayne Morris Jr. says we should go back to the claim rule.
Claim what?
Engines?
Hell, go to the claim rule, he said.
What claim what? A ball joint? Because he's running two different
control
arms?
No, that did not work when I started in the claim rule. And there would be in care because I had
10,000
years ago
when Mike had the... had that claim rule.
Yeah.
IMCA had the claim rule.
That didn't slow anybody down.
But the thing is wasn't
nobody
the gentleman's agreement? You don't mess with my shit.
You
with
claim mine, Gary Wyatt, and I'm going to dump your
you're
ass.
You're not going to make it home.
Yeah. I'm going to dump your ass.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
I don't think that one's successful. Hey, I have to digress because speaking of officials, I race. Terry McConnell was an official, and now his daughter is all grown up, and she has Asquat Designs in Boulder City. She does masks, t-shirts, and a sticker business. And check
hey,
this
Buckaroo.
Out. You could actually get custom team face masks. I'm getting some for here, clear. But you can get your logo or your race car number on face masks. Since you have to show up to the Speedway now
is.
With face masks.
You get your face mask with your sponsor on it.
Yeah. I guess Chris Klein has some. So
there's a lot of people out there got that.
I've had
all the cup guys now. They got their sponsor on.
But now you can get it here locally from a racing family right here. Her name is Amanda. It's Terry's daughter. Look her up on Asquad Designs.
Speaking of my grandson, Ethan, who just popped on right there, I see that I found out that the CCSD is not letting the kids do sports right now. And all the coaches, well, they're not letting them, but the coaches of all over Clark County for football have all gotten together as a group and decided they were no longer going to practice. They decided collectively, all the coaches for football, and they were not going to do anything until December. Then December, they may go back to doing something for their sports division because they want to try to collectively not – get the whole season just kicked out by this governor, you know, and say no, there's no football at all. So now we're going to do a little bit of, you know, just voluntarily stop football and the football season. It's going to be good because that leads into going racing. Exactly. And I don't have to miss my grandson. We get to go to Madera. We're going to be out this weekend for the bomber race. I mean,
is it televised? Is it live TV?
Yeah, him in the pit, so I don't know. I don't know.
Then
the next weekend, though, we get to have the late models. John Hill said your trucks are going to be allowed because you're a late model, and the modified are going to be tested in 2 weeks from this week from this coming weekend. Yeah.
Did he? You could practice side by side, all eight of you bunched up.
He didn't say that we couldn't. Didn't say we couldn't. So, you know, if it's a trophy dash, it ends up becoming a trophy dash, it becomes a trophy dash, you know. But they're not going to do that. And then we leave there in 3 weeks from now, and we take off for Madera. And we're going to go race in Madera if the governor doesn't shut California down in the next 5 minutes. So we're going to go up there to Madera and go racing up there. And then we come back down here. So we'll see what happens with California. I'm looking forward to going there.
But you've raced in California since COVID, right?
Nope, I have not. I went to Tucson twice with Ethan.
And do they make you wear a mask?
You're not in your pit area. Only when you went into, they did not make you. Only when you went into the tech barn and credential. Not the tech barn, the tire barn. When you went into the tire barn to pay for your tires, so if you had to wear a mask, that little girl sitting there doing her thing. And when you went into your credentials, they made you wear a mask to go through there. But once you were inside, you really didn't have to. They didn't collect or put everyone together during the driver's meeting. Everybody stayed apart. I mean, they were actually very good at Tucson about, you know,
social distancing.
Everybody stays.
At the Bullring? Because I know you guys get to race there, even though none of us do.
Well, I'm not racing. We're helping somebody out right now. So hey, I'm helping out a girl. I'm helping a girl out of Tucson, Quinn Davis.
Not to get off your subject, but birthday boy Doug Hamm checked in.
Hi, Doug Hamm. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Doug.
Champion.
So they ended up, I'm not actually getting to race, so I'm not going to the driver's meetings over there, so I'm not sure exactly how they're doing it over at the 600 trader, but
you had to wear a mask to check in?
Yes, I had to wear a mask.
What about in your pit?
Temperature checked to get in.
Okay.
Then you had to sign a waiver, COVID waiver form. Then you had to wear a mask to go in the credential building. They don't put the wristband on you anymore. They hand it to you, and you have to put it on before you can leave. And then when you come back Saturday night, you have to go back up to the credential building, get your temperature checked again, and then you can drive in. I shouldn't say that, because the last Saturday, they actually had somebody at the gate checking your temperature in your car, which my temperature was only, like 97 degrees because I had the air conditioner on high.
I was going to say it's like 116 out.
Yeah, but the air conditioner's on high, so I'm only 97, so my skin temperature was
high. But how much did that delay from a normal process?
Nothing.
Minutes?
Well, there's only the Legend cars and Bandoleros out there.
But what I'm saying is everyone who's complaining, like...
No, there's no
law. It
didn't
take
away
a lot of time. Just do it. Just do it.
Leave your house 10 minutes early.
But in the pits, you didn't
just
have to wear it,
right?
Race.
No, we didn't have to wear it.
Your pit?
Yeah, we didn't have to wear anything in the pits. And if you were walking by yourself, you didn't have to have anything either because you were socially distanced if you were walking by yourself. But if you walked into someone else's pit, then you put your
cover. So basically, social distance, and if you can't wear a mask.
Because you're the outsider. You know, if you're going to go into, like I walked over to the Rice trailer. Okay, they were... pit areas. They were right there, and they were kids were working on the car last time I was there, and I just put it up and leave it alone, because I'm the one that's coming into their pit. I'm not part of their group, so I put my stuff up. They don't have to, but I do.
Theirs. Okay.
Right. But if I walk over to the 600 trailer, I stand from here to Gary away from the trailer so that I'm not right there talking to Robert and Ryan, and I don't have to put my mask up because I don't think I could spit 6 feet, so.
Well,
plus
with them 116 out, he probably smells.
Well, yeah, Robert and Ryan both smell. But I have the kind that actually slides up over your face. So it's like a big piece of, like a big tube sock, I have that kind.
Yeah, like when you're riding in your ATV dust mask.
More or less. I mean, I got it in the truck right there. I could go get it and be right back. But it's not that hard of a thing to wear. It's not one of these ones that are all the way over your whole face like this right here, where you're just sucking your own carbon monoxide,
Yeah,
it's just not like that. So it's basically, what is it designed to do? What? Keep somebody from getting spit, right? I mean, that's pretty much what it's for. I didn't find it to be a problem or a delay.
Right.
So
you
didn't have to have it stuck on your face the whole
time.
And that's the best part about it. You could actually go out and wander around and talk to people as long as you weren't in their face. I mean, there's no reason to be in someone's face. I mean, I don't think you'd be any closer here than I am to you now.
Unless
I mean,
I'm getting your phone number.
Just wear your helmet.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to start spitting at a body breakfast or something, right? Yeah. So, I mean, you know, if you're not buying me breakfast, then we're not getting any closer, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and you two, you two ain't not my type. So I'm good with that.
Yeah,
so.
I'm not usually much of a hugger, except, well, I used to be. But
yeah, you had to hug me that one day, and he was upset. So.
But now, so I'm good. I'm good with this. Like, yeah, stay away. I actually, well, I was going to
say. Yeah, there's a couple of people, you know, Sheila Lynch, you know, I'll get her a hug from her because, I mean, I know that they're, you kind of know the people in your surrounding group.
No, she doesn't have COVID.
Yeah, you know the people in your group who are either ill or not ill. You know, I walk up and see Sheila or something, I'll get a hug or, you know, one of my buddies or something. You know, Timmy Mashering comes down from Utah. I know he ain't sick. If he's sick, I'll slap the hell out of him. But I'll walk up there, hey, bro.
Slap him, not
sick. Yeah, slap the COVID out of him. So.
So you're going to Madera this weekend. Have they said anything? Like, what are the rules when you go there?
Well, the rules are exactly the same.
Okay.
Once you're in your pit, you don't have to have your mask on.
Are you
they're actually spacing them out.
Okay.
They're spacing out every other pit. It might be a little bit different this when we go up there with our modifieds, but they tell us that we can't even race at another racetrack. We can't race at another racetrack 2 weeks prior to going to their racetrack.
For real?
Yeah. So we're going to be testing here, then going up there, but we're not actually racing. And the rule says we can't race.
Not test.
Yeah.
See, that's NASCAR. That's pushing the rules.
But here, I mean, it's the same thing here. I mean, for the most part, everybody's all been spread out right here. So if you haven't seen what's going on, I think Peyton Saxton, Giannini, a couple of those guys that have those, they're all pitted in one little square. And you actually got to walk.
That's a multi-car team?
Yes.
And so they're allowed to.
Yes. So they're they're a multi-car team. They can actually pit together and be part of their group. So, and they actually encase their little area in a square. So you got to walk into their little square in order to be there. Otherwise, you don't have no business in their pit area. You don't have no business walking in there. Others are spaced out every other pit, you know. So there's lots of room. I mean,
more than likely a multi-car team. They're working on the cars together throughout the week anyway.
Right.
So
a multi-car team's going to stay together and be together. And that's the way it was. And there's nothing wrong with that because they're together the whole time. But you have there's nothing special going on as far as wearing your mask. If you leave the pit area and you're going into somebody else's, just put your mask up. You're the intruder. You're the alien, you know. So just put your mask up. Just slide it up. Talk to them. Shoot your BS. Say what you got to say, and get out and walk. Put your mask down. If it's not that hot, you know, it's not that big of a deal. So
let me just clarify. So you're going to Madera. You're going with Ethan.
Ethan's going. I'm taking Ethan's car. Joe's taking his car.
Okay.
Which is Kevin's car.
So dad and son are going to race against each other?
It'll be the first time
Whoa.
Ever that those two ever race together. Yeah. Yeah, we were actually trying to get a
mod for
me to drive.
Ethan,
is
your dad going to beat you, or are you going to beat your dad?
Oh, no. Ethan knows he's not going to beat his old man, but he's told his old man, I'm going to whoop your ass. Ethan just told his dad, I'm going to give you the chrome horn.
Yeah, but doesn't Joe have Kevin's old car? So it might happen.
No, I don't think it's going to happen. That car is, that car is
just the Kevin car.
Yeah, it's not the same car at all. There's nothing left but the main cage in that rear end, man.
Oh, wow.
That car is completely rebuilt.
All right.
There's nothing. There's no two pieces that were left on that car except that rear end and that main roll cage. And even the main roll cage was cut away.
Kevin says he wants to see pictures.
I'll send Kevin pictures. I got them all over my
phone. Has Joe tested in it?
He has not. It hasn't even been done yet.
Oh.
Yeah, the car. I bought the car
when
for
you
him.
When are you leaving?
Kevin will tell you. I bought it, I think, in December for Joe.
Probably.
Right, November or December I bought
it when you guys were here.
Yeah.
When you two were here.
And I bought it. I went out and bought it from Kevin, took it home. Kevin gave us all the parts he had for it, and Joe put them on the corner. And all it was just a cage and started over. We found the frame rail was bent, and they had to fix the frame rail at Kirsch's shop, and they did all the stuff to the car and straightened the car up. Kevin said, well, Joe even said, oh, this is where I hit the car before. You know, Joe even saw the damage he did to the car back in the Lucas Oil days.
Oh, wow.
So Joseph has completely rebuilt his car from head to toe.
All right.
There's not a used piece on it but the rear end housing. And he likes the rear end housing because it's a nice, big, wide rear end housing. And
see, Kevin, they just like your rear end.
Yeah, that's what it is. Just love that rear end.
Come on.
So, but Ethan and Joe will race each other for the first time ever, which is something that I've I wanted as a grandparent. I wanted my son and my grandson to race each other. I really wanted it in the Superstock class, but it didn't happen. The only other goal would be for me to jump in someone's mod for one night and race my son, my grandson, and myself on the racetrack.
That would be so cool.
So, but we are the only three people who have won main events at the Bullring in three generations. My grandfather, which is me, my son, and my grandson have all won main events at the Bullring.
Oh,
we're the only ones. That's what I was told.
Cool. Yeah.
So.
That's because no one's that old yet, Chuck.
Yeah, that's what it is. No one's as old as I am. So, but it's I would like to be able to run a mod once on the same night as my son and my grandson will be racing.
So of the three of you, who would win that?
I'd whip their ass. I haven't got my Superstock car, and I hadn't been in a Superstock car in 15 years, and I went out there in the
Kicked
opening year.
Butt.
I went out there and won 4 out of 5 main events, so I was cool with it.
Yeah.
Back to back to back, too.
Yeah.
And I'd have won the first one if Jax didn't, right there, not Kyle. One of the whores in that yellow car at the time stuck me in the fence on the opening night.
Mm.
One of those kids did. I don't know which one it was.
On purpose, you think?
Oh, I don't know about on purpose, but I know that I didn't get to the start finish line. I didn't even get to the start finish line taking the green flag. So,
well, do you guys have anyone, like if you were to drive and all three of you are driving, who's on your crew?
Well, Timmy Masterang has been my crew guy for about 11 years. So he's been around for me for long enough. But we would have to get, I'd have to get two other spotters out there for now. But it would only be a one race, one time deal for me just to say, you know what, I raced both of my son and my grandson just for a one race deal. That'd be exciting for me.
Okay, so let's put the word out. Who's got a modified?
Kevin Terrell.
No, he don't.
He does. He told it.
No.
Yeah, you don't have it. I have it.
No,
already.
I know some California peeps. Let's put
the
word out.
I just like to do it one time. If I tore somebody's car up, obviously I'd pay for it. But I would like to be able to go out there just one time and do that. That would be exciting for me just to run a main event and be in the same field as my son and my grandson one time.
Yeah. So if not Madera, maybe Tucson?
No, I would prefer that it to be here. I'd like to be able to do it at
Vegas.
Home.
Okay.
Yeah, even if it's next year, because
well, it's gonna have to be.
Well,
for Vegas,
you got to understand
practice.
Ethan's got a year and a half left in school, and he'll be graduating, going off to college someplace. And I've already come to the conclusion that I'm going to be done racing, sponsoring cars and put my grandson out there. He'll be off to college, hopefully. And if he's off to college, then I'll...
Wait, didn't he say that last time? About
no.
When Ethan graduated? No, okay.
No, only when he graduates. Okay. Only when he graduates college. I mean, graduates high school and moves on.
All right.
And goes where he's going to go to. Am I going to retire from full-time racing? And then I will... When Ethan comes into town or... You know, if he's on school break or spring break or something to that effect and he wants to go race someplace, we'll go race someplace.
Okay.
You know, but as far as racing on a full-time schedule and spending the money that I spend to go racing, I won't do that no more.
What are you going
to
do with all your money then?
I'm going to put it in the bank for my retirement. Because I'll be collecting my Social Security and my pension and my other pension, my 401k.
You don't have any other plans like getting an RV and traveling?
No.
Fishing?
My wife and I were just discussing whether or not we are going to move out, maybe go to Texas or something like that, maybe go down there and live down there. Maybe we're looking now at Alabama, looking down there and looking in the Gulf Coast right along the Gulf Coast. Gulf Coast down there. So we're looking around. We're going to try to figure something out to do.
All right.
So people will see less and less of me, which won't hurt anybody's feelings in some cases.
Oh, that would be the end of an era though, really.
Yeah, it kind of would be. My era ended with my bandos too, so I don't have any more bandos.
Yeah, that is a big devastation in that class.
Yeah, yeah. All four of my bandos are gone. Well, one of them's still in town. Gary Griffith's guy was one of them.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
So one of them is still going to be here. Eventually, she'll make it to road course, if you will.
When she turns 8.
Yeah. When she turns 8, which I think is like November.
September, I think.
September, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so she might even be a mobile race then.
Yeah, this year.
Yeah, she might get over it. Then.
Are you going to help Gary?
I told him I would be there for him, but so loyal support. Right now, I'm busy with Quinn Davis out of Tucson, Arizona. I'm helping her and her dad right now, and just to get them going in the right direction, then I'll back out of that too.
All right. I think so.
We'll see. Thanks for having me, Jim.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for rescuing. You're a goddess. Anytime.
Thanks for listening, folks. Thanks for listening.